Oh, Father, Lord God, I just pray that you lead us this morning. I thank you, Father, that even though we may have plans of things that we want to do, Father, you have other plans for us, Lord. And I pray, Lord God, that we're always willing just to listen to your voice and just lay down all the things that we want, Father, and hear what you want for us, Father. I pray, Lord, as we're worshiping this morning, Lord, that we're able just to get into your spirit, Lord, and we pray that we can just hear your voice. We ask you to speak to us, Father. That you give us, Father, your forgiveness, Lord. We don't deserve it, Lord. None of us do, Father. I know that I have a long line of mistakes, Father, that I thought I could never work my way out of, Lord, and then you told me I didn't need to, Father. You said, my gift of love is enough. Now you need to let go. And I thank you, Father, for your love. I thank you, and I just pray, Father, that everyone here has that willingness, too, just to say, I want that love. I want that unconditional love. And I want to be the one to let go of my past so I can be a new creation in you.
Overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, yes, and because of the word of their testimony, yes, and they did not love their life even unto death. For this reason I rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, and knowing that he has only a short time.
About us being the Lord's bride. I think that's so beautiful. You know, I just think of how unworthy we are. You know, how, you know, here's Jesus and he's been waiting for us and he's been giving us that way to be beautiful and to be clean, and how often, you know, we just make these mistakes and we cheat, Lord. But Father, you still want us and you love us and you say there's a way. You know, I think about that woman at the well, Lord God. My history, my story, Lord. And how you say, go and sin no more. It's not, well, you're a bad person or you're disgusting or look at all these things that you've done. There's no way I could love you. It's just go, sin no more. Father, I thank you. It's just the greatest love story ever, Lord. And I just, I pray, Father, that we can look at others, Lord, and we can see them the way that you see us, Father. Help us to have that love for God and that peace and that patience with others, Father. And help us to encourage others, Lord God, no matter where they are, Lord, and have a help us to have a loving tongue, Lord God, not judgmental, Lord. Help us to guide others, Lord. Fed this morning, Father, I just pray that that is our desire. That our desire is just to worship and obey you, Lord, in that time. Any part of the world that pulls us, Lord God, in our flesh, Lord, we know that we're a huge part of making ourselves stumble, Lord, but I pray that your Holy Spirit just take out that desire to worry about us and to be self-centered, Lord, and I pray that our desire is just going to be to want to follow you, Lord. And I speak definitely for myself a lot of the time, Lord. The first person I think of a lot of times when I wake up in the morning is me, Lord. And I pray, Father, that that just goes away. And I say, Lord, what do you want? Father, just use me. I just want to be that vessel, Lord God, that doesn't keep fighting, but just submits and says, I want to be used for you. I pray that your Spirit leads this morning.
Got you, Dad. So, So, you know, as we were singing that song, you know, I was thinking that we got through a whole verse last week, for those of you who weren't here. And so, you know, it said, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And that patient in affliction, you remember that word is philipsis, you know, through those trials. And I love when we're singing that song, and I heard Amy do it in there. I don't know if you noticed, she didn't mess up on the words. She was singing, let your praise ever be on my lips. What she was saying at one point is, my praise, Lord, ever be in flipsis. You know, we're going through that affliction, and we're going through that struggle, and we're going through that trial. That's when we need to raise our hands and voices to the Lord all the more, and praise him all the more, even if it's a sacrifice of praise. Because the enemy wants to quench that in your heart. And don't let him do it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Well, there's a bunch of things that we have to go over, and hopefully I'm going to remember to do them all. And since we're a little bit more family-like, while we're handing out Bibles, I'm going to hand out a couple things to people so I don't forget. I've been forgetting to give a few things to a few people for a few weeks. So, Hezekiah, would you grab some of these Bibles and hand them out if you need one? Elijah, would you too? If you need a Bible, just raise your hand and someone will get one to you. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. Just raise your hand. We're going to be in the book of Romans in a minute, but until then, I'm handing out a few things. Hey, in Jesus' name.
Whoa.
thank you, pizza. Ooh, wow, two of these. All right, and the Lord wants to keep these up, I know. But he's telling me to worship. Okey-dokey. Sorry, just talk amongst yourselves. Everybody's good. Don't worry about them. Ignore the guy with the microphone. It's no problem. We're very family-oriented here. Sorry.
Okay.
Good morning. Now we're going to see people kind of strolling here. I thought the place would be empty because of the time change. Did anybody forget this morning? Just got up early, somebody remind you?
No, because you texted us.
I did. Not everybody gets my text. Straightforward, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go over a few things on our PowerPoint, and then we'll get to some really cool stuff. Okay, so first off, we have got, I don't know, how many loaves of bread and bagels? Probably, there's only five left. Well, there was probably at least 100 back there. Big French breads and tons of bagels. Listen, if you want some of that, take it home in Jesus' name. It's yours. We just want to bless you with the word and feed you that and also feed you physically. So if you don't know where that is, ask, it's in the corner over there. Ask Uncle Tom. Or right there, Gloria, can you raise your hand, Uncle Tom?
Right here.
Thank you. Okay. Fantastic. All right. It's a free gift in Jesus' name. Don't forget Casting Crowns, Saturday, March 18th, 7 p.m. at USF Sundome. If you're interested in seeing them, tickets are 23 Smackaroonies with Danny Koki. Also, no, I didn't get the address. Okay, but not this upcoming week, but the next week, families and youth and the men are all going to have all-you-can-eat wings, crack your steak and lube, yep, and that's going to be just getting 15 smackaroonies if you want to actually eat the wings, and so you're welcome to come out and enjoy that and just have a good time of fellowship with everybody, and so...
Eating all day?
Pretty much eating all day. Didn't I put a time on there? What, all these details.
Well, you
start off at 8 a.m. and then we just eat until you get sick. But we'll probably go later, though. Oh, man. Okay, so also, part of our job is we equip the saints. That's what saints aren't, somebody who's a statue. If you're born again Christian, committed your life over to Jesus Christ, God calls you a saint. Either a saint or you ain't. So we're here to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. You can listen to some of our teachings online if you miss a teaching. Most of the time we can do that. Also, we have a loaner library in case you want books, audio CDs for car trips, or family DVDs, Christian DVDs for the kids. Free two-week loaners. Just sign them out back there. Bring them back in Jesus' name. Prayer here, 9 a.m. Sunday. Just a little quick testimony. You know, we don't... Somebody I talked to yesterday was sharing with me that they were really in a bunch of spiritual warfare, and they were struggling, coming to church, struggling with reading their Bibles, struggling with, just reading the Christian book, and the folks, just to encourage you guys, a bunch of folks laid hands on this person and anointed. It just said it's like an electric shock just went through her. Mm-hmm. And it said now, she said she's just reading the Bible all the time. She's back reading a Christian book. She loves to get into the Word. And so, you know what? To me, that's a tremendous testimony about prayer, too. And so, you know what? The Bible says this. The Bible says, has anyone of you in trouble? This isn't James. Is any one of you sick? Is any of you in trouble, struggles? It says, come and ask for prayer. And the elders of the church will lay hands on you, anoint you with oil. And that oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes we seek you out. Can we pray for you? But actually, technically, really, God's word says, I want you, in faith, to come and ask to be prayed for. There's something humbling about that, isn't there?
Yeah.
And God's saying, I want you to just humble yourself. Well, I don't want all the attention or whatever. Just come. We're happy to pray for you in Jesus' name. So thank you, all you prayer warriors. Women's Bible study this Tuesday. Salad dinner and the nature of Jesus with Gail Irwin. 6:30 fellowship and 7 p.m. Bible study. Teen girls also invited. And also Thursday night, barbecue and Bible study. And it's just a great time of fellowship, 6 to 8 p.m. Either next week or the week after, I'm going to have some friends come and share. And they've been missionaries in China for years. They've been missionaries with InterVarsity for years. And I've known them for many years. Actually, when I first went through the book of Acts, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago, the wife was actually our worship leader at our little condo when we first got married 100 years ago. And so they're going to come out, and they're going to have an evening, and they're going to either teach or share. It's going to be a good time. So maybe either... I think it's not this week, but next week. Just want to let you know. I'm just going to tell you real quickly about the school, guys. Just continue just to pray. We're trying to expand the septic fields, maybe grab another, just expand it to have more students, the counter requirements. And you see all that dirt back there, piled back there? I don't know if you noticed it in the back. That we're getting that free.
I just got another email that another company just donated $500 worth of dirt to our church.
Praise God.
So all that dirt back there?
That and plus $500 worth.
And another $500 worth of dirt for the septic field. Not only that.
And the piping.
But yes, the plumber's like, hey, do you mind if I ask around to see if I can get all the plumbing stuff donated? Sure. She came back and says, I've got all the piping, everything, all that's already donated for you. Jesus. Hey, we're not even asked. That's praise the Lord. And when somebody's there, there's a spiritual attack, they don't know what's going on, and we're praying, and God opens up their heart and mind. Praise the Lord. There's so much to praise the Lord for. God's doing great things, man. It's just amazing. Is that so cute? So we have two baby things this morning. So it's double blessing. Double blessing. First, we have the lovely and talented Laura. Do you want to show that video first?
Please.
Okay, so Laura is from the North River Pregnancy Center, and Susie took me there last week, and so she's going to come up here. We're going to show a little video, and then we're going to have her come up and share, and then after that, we're going to do something very cool, and you guys are all going to be able to pray. We're having a baby dedication. Aww. You guys are all going to be able to pray for this baby. That this baby would follow the Lord. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Love that. That's so cool. Okay, all right. George, would you mind hitting that? I appreciate it.
Okay. Who am I? I am valuable. When thousands of people raise their voices and say that I didn't deserve to live, I won't listen to the haters, because I am something. Every human life has value, but America has forgotten some, because each day humans are being murdered when a doctor convinces a mother that the life inside of her is worthless. Listen to the beat. You to listen. With every drumbeat, a baby's life is stolen away in America. Every collision of the mallet against the stretched polyester represents a life taken today. 3,315 lives, loves, and unwritten symphonies. 3,315 beats. Listen to the beat. This is an America where it's got mouths made millions drowning newborns in a bathroom toilet. And then Israel thinks adding wallpaper to a comfort room makes the murder of a firstborn baby more palatable. Listen to the beat. America's lost its value on human lives. A dismembered graveyard sounds like a conjured zombie plot, but in reality, it's just another day on the table for Planned Parenthood. America seems to care more about being dead than the unborn. Every day, thousands of tiny bodies that still have a heart no longer have a beat. Listen to the beat. But the proliferation is beginning. There is hope. Who am I? I'm one of you. Think about this truth. If you're an age where you're about to use the internet as a teenager, you have survived the government approval of your murder. For years, government public schools have manipulated the groupthink logic of the masses. But this internet generation is doing more than just listening to the rhetoric of a sex ed teacher. You underestimate us if you think we only use the internet for Snapchat and Instagram. But we're finding the truth. And the truth is this. The most important word in human rights is human. And we're sharing the truth. There are those who will say that you aren't allowed to speak up on the matter. If that's the case, who am I? I think I have some room to talk, and I value now, and I value before the doctor reached into my mother's womb at 8 weeks to pull me apart limb from limb. I don't know why the doctor stopped. I don't know if I had a twin with me in the womb. I don't know who I was, but I know who I am, and I have value. So listen to the beat. Because it'll happen again.
That's probably the most powerful thing he said.
Every single day to stop that beat. We want to avoid ever seeing something like that again. And the kind of abortion that he was talking about, that he survived, actually happens in this country every single day. Yeah. If you look at Planned Parenthood, they're doing those kinds of abortions. And so part of the problem, part of this problem, 3,300 babies being killed every single day, is that in this society, we want immediate gratification. If our computers don't upload fast enough, if they don't download fast enough, you know, we're going at the modem. What's wrong? What's going on? And so we have people calling all of the time with this immediate problem that needs to be fixed right now. My girlfriend's pregnant. I'm pregnant. That needs to be fixed right now. And they don't know that there are other options. And so if someone calls and says, my girlfriend's pregnant, do you do abortions? I'm pregnant, do you do abortions? No, we don't. We don't do abortions, nor do we refer for abortions. But we would love for you to come in to North River Care so that you can be educated on all of your choices. And one of those choices might be to give up your baby. And we don't put it that way, but we say you could be giving a gift to someone else who is desperate for a child, who is desperate to have one of those beads given to them. And I think that part of, I'm sorry that this is one of our bills. We actually, I had notes, but it was, I left it at home, so I was scribbling fast while Pastor was talking, but he also gave me, Pastor Darren also gave me another video to look at that we were thinking about showing you, and it didn't quite serve for our purposes time-wise, but it was of a 16-year-old girl who read an article in Teen Vogue, which is out to all of the masses of our young people. And it was talking about what to do for a friend of yours who might have gone through an abortion. And some of the things they said were, well, just give them a funny movie. So Blazing Saddles will get them through this experience, right? Another suggestion was have them be an abortion guide, an abortion clinic guide. After they have made the most difficult decision of their life, they're going to hold the hand and have other people walk into the abortion clinic. That's how we're going to help the girls who have made this decision. Another one was girl power. This is not an issue of girl power. How about the children who were aborted who were girls? Where was their power? And so at North River Care, what we try to do is we try to educate the girls and the young men who are coming in to show them a different way. Our problem is also we're facing the evil one is really doing a lot around here. We are being attacked daily. Even in our church youth groups, where very horrible information is being given to our kids. And you're just going to have to forgive me for saying this, but in this county, just within the last year, a youth group leader in Manatee County was saying to the kids, they were trying to teach abstinence, but they said, you know, intercourse is not good, but anal sex is okay.
You got it.
And that was said in Manatee County.
Oh my God.
So the evil one is really, really got a toehold on this. And at North River Care, our thing is to try and educate. And also, you know, if people have had an abortion, that's one of the worst things they can go through. They will feel guilt, and we can help them try and get try and give them tools to deal with that. So if you know of someone who has an abortion, we can still help them. So please, if you know that, see me. I'll give you some resources. There are places as close as Largo, Lakeland, Clearwater, who have post-abortive counseling. Yes, ma'am.
You say you educate on options. What are those options that you educate on?
Well, if someone comes into us abortion-minded, then we try to help them see. We try and help them get through all of the obstacles that they feel are in front of them in order to have the baby. We try and show them that, you know, we will walk with them. Let's talk about the problems that you think having this baby are, and we'll try and get past them. You know, again, it's immediacy. They are just, you know. But one of them also is, if you truly feel that you cannot keep this baby, you can place, and you can be a tremendous blessing to someone else. So we talk about all of the different options except that one.
What kind of immediate counseling, having been through this whole picture that you're talking about, not only myself but with my family and so on and so forth, what kind of support do you have for this individual person who is having to look at, become educated as to what her or their, meaning the young man might be involved in it,
mm-hmm.
choices, and what kind of services do we provide for that individual? Thinking of a sister who was 13 years old and was pregnant, yeah. and decided to keep the baby, but she couldn't continue to go to high school.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
We ended up having to spend the money and ship her off somewhere else,
right.
okay, so that she could get, you know, her high school education. She's 50-some-odd years old now and has finally connected with that child.
Yeah. And that's what it was. And that certainly was what we did with the pregnant moms. We shipped them off. You know, it never happened.
What are we doing now, though?
Yeah, what are we doing now? Now, excuse me, North River Care, we're giving them education. We walk through them every step. If they choose to have that baby, we walk with them every step of the way. We give them financial help. We give them material goods. We give them education on how to be good moms, how to be good parents. We walk with them all the way until they have that baby, and then a year beyond that. You asked about school, and I'm glad you brought that up. When I spoke before, we now have a GED program for moms and dads who are either expecting or who have a baby already, and they can come to our office and be educated and get their GED. We've got about five right now who are one test away from getting their GED. And I picked up a client the other day, went to the daycare to get her baby, and the bus pulled up, Manatee County bus. And a couple people got off, got their babies, and got back on the bus. So our schools are also now recognizing that they need to be a part of a pregnant girl and her situation. So our schools also have that. They're not doing what they need to do to avoid this situation, but once we get there, they are trying to help as well. So there are resources all, you know, there are pregnancy centers. There is, if an abortion has happened, there are resources with that. There's a lot more than there was 50 years ago.
Yeah. How about the guys?
Oh, we deal with them too. Absolutely. Bring them in. We want them to come and show up.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm going to say something else, too. We started supporting Laura and the ministry here, too. And if you guys would like to do that privately, they also help with things like ultrasound and things like that. So if you guys know of anyone, I don't know if you have those brochures.
I brought a bunch of them.
You know what? I would love for, even while we're doing whatever, if you could hand those out. Maybe somebody could just take, you know, those brochures that say some of the services that you offer. Maybe they know somebody. Or maybe they can put it in their glove compartment or their purse or their wallet for another time. You know, maybe 6 months down the road, they can pull that out. I know someone who will help you. So
because a lot of people don't know that these services are available.
Right.
I mean, you know, when I was young, I didn't know about a pregnancy center. You know, we did have one more question.
No, I was just going to say, Sarasota has an IESIS program at Riverview High School, and they have daycare and the moms. So
that's an amazing step up from what you were talking about.
Oh, Bayshore does as well.
Bayshore does as well.
So there are schools that.
Yeah. They are definitely seeing the need, and they're stepping up to
I think we need to teach them more about abstinence.
Absolutely. That's what I was saying. They're not doing the before
they're not doing
stuff.
Enough, but once they get there, at least they can still get educated.
Absolutely.
Laura, are you aware of that in Ohio they just recently passed a bill mm-hmm. called a heartbeat bill? That means once they determine a heartbeat is to protect that child from being murdered. Mm-hmm. And so pray that continually happens in each state, but also that our new justice that is elected is pro-life, that he would, something can be changed.
Well, one thing that we would like to do too is, and for time's sake, because we have something very special next, is extra special, I think, is a baby dedication.
Oh,
isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And so what we're going to do is, Joe, I'd like you to go with Laura, and if you would help her hand out those things to everybody.
I bought them last week. I don't know.
So you check that out. But if you would pray for her and North River Pregnancy Center, if you go help test that out, I want to take a minute and and I want to do something that seems almost like extra special to have a baby dedication. And you know what? I just love to do that. Do you do baby dedications? Love it! You want to dedicate your baby to God? That is amazing. That is awesome. And you know, God loves the children. You know, in the book of Mark, there are a bunch of people that were a bunch of little children, that parents trying to take their kids to see Jesus, and it says to have them touch them and pray. And the disciples were like, Jesus is too busy for these little kids, right? And Jesus said, hey, suck the children out, let them come to me. And it says he put them on his lap, and he touched them, and he blessed them. You know, and I think that is awesome. God loves the children. And so we want to take a dedication. Now, some people ask, why do we do dedications? Dedication is not a baptism. A baptism is when you become a believer, right? God says, I want you to get baptized. And you're being birthed into his family. And that's a representation. That baby dedication is a symbolic. And you see Hannah did it in the book of Samuel. You see Mary and Joseph did it. And they brought that baby to the temple. And had him dedicated to the Lord. And so we're doing that same thing. It's an awesome responsibility. Actually, I don't think, you know, children are God's greatest gift, and also I would say, also, being honest, God's greatest responsibility. Okay? Let's just be honest. And so, you know, this is what the Word of God says. If you hit that light over there, Hezekiah. I just read this in Psalms 127. God's word says that sons are a heritage from the Lord, and children are a reward from him. And that is a beautiful thing. Children are a blessing and a gift from God. Now, that's the gift part, but there's also the responsibility part, right? And so this, we're going to dedicate, we can have, Okay. And baby Casey.
Baby Casey.
Sorry, that's my baby talk voice. Casey, you're and if anybody else wants to come up, you know, grandpa, whatever you guys, I don't want to put any pressure on anybody, but you're welcome to come up. I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so proud of you. You know, but that also is the responsibility on you.
Yeah.
That sweet, awesome, amazing baby is a gift from the Lord. But God also has a word for us as parents. And I'm a parent too. And so this is what he says. And he said, hear, O Israel, hear God's people. The Lord your God is one. And he says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And he says, these commandments, this is what I'm giving to you, are to be on your hearts first as parents. That's what he's saying. He's like, I know you want the best for your baby, but if you want this baby to grow to know you and love you, I want you to love them. And then he says this. He says, impress them on your children, which is so cool. He says, talk about them. Talk about my word. When you go home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. And that's the challenge that we're to take as parents, to train them up. Proverbs says, train a child up in the ways of the Lord, and when he's older, he won't depart from it. And so that's what we want to pray, that God would bless this baby and train this baby. And so if you guys would all join me, if we can just pray over this baby, I would really love it. And yeah, and you can come, stand, do whatever you want, and you can, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to take a minute and pray. For this couple and for this baby first. Okay. I know my hands are so cold. Freezy hands. Cold hands, warm heart. Let's just pray. Look at, I just love it. Look, even these people, just standing and praying for you guys. That's awesome. Father God, we ask for your blessing right now in Jesus' name on this baby. In fact, Lord, I just want to anoint this baby with oil. And that oil is just symbolic of your Holy Spirit. I just pray for your blessing.
baby Casey, this little baby would grow to know you, Lord, and love you with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, Lord. That this little baby would be blessed, would be a force to be reckoned with in the kingdom of God, Lord. That this baby would know you, that he would cling to what is good, Lord God, and hate what is evil, Lord God. That you would teach this baby to love you and to love others in a way that magnifies and glorifies your name. I pray right now for Heidi and for Brad. Lord, I'm so proud of them bringing them up here and having a bunch of people that they don't know scare them and pray for them, Lord. Mm-hmm. It's a big step. I ask that you would bless each one of them, Lord God. That you would show them, you would impress you, Lord, personally on each of their hearts. That they would know you, that they would love you, Lord God. Mm-hmm. That they would have a place to grow and be strengthened in you, that they can pass that on to their children. What a blessing. What a children are a heritage in the Lord. And I pray that they would be able to pour that into their child, and then that child would pour it into many others in this world, Lord God. So bless them, encourage them, protect them as they go through this journey, Lord God. So we lift this couple up. We ask you to help them, to show yourself to them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And then we also pray for this baby, Lord, that you would do exceedingly, abundantly, more than anybody could have even ever asked for or imagined through this baby, Lord God. And we ask these things in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Love that. It's fun. So some of you guys can have some more babies.
Excuse me?
Hey, one word, Mark Abraham and Sarah. That's all I'm saying. All right, well, let's get into the word, my friend.
Yeah. Are you calling?
Oh, wait, I was supposed to mention one other thing. Oh, wow, that is really amazing. Okay, this Friday for the youth, right? There's a youth gathering. If anybody wants to come out, they can call you, Hannah. And this is, it's going to be a Friday. From what time do you?
From
6 to 8 p.m. at, what was the name of the church? Ah, you don't know either. Okay. Well, there's a youth event from 6 to 8 Friday. If you want to know, and if you want to go, see Hannah, and we'll get you there. Okay, all right, we are in the book of Romans. So open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Three different people like the light.
We almost started,
I know. You can hit the light in the back there for me, Lisa. Would you mind back in the back? Thank you. Not too much trouble. We are in the book of Romans, chapter 12. We did so much last week, I feel. We did all of one verse. So let me sit through there really quickly. Hey, can I get a good reader? Okay, just pointed. Nice. That's terrible. The husband points to the wife. Okay, perfect. Thank you for volunteering. Would you read for us verses 1 through 12 as I find my spot where we left off, okay? Romans chapter 1, we're going to read 1 through 12. This is just a review, and then we'll start off in verse 12 or 15, okay?
Romans chapter 12, right?
Yep, starting in verse 1. Okay.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve that. It's not like what I memorized. Hold on. Then you will be able to test and approve that what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer.
Okay, that's where we left off. So, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. You know, that one verse can encapsulate so much. We went through an hour last week, so I'm not going to recap it. I just want to say one quick thing. If we can get this one thing right, your whole Christian walk will change.
Sure.
Everything will change for you. Be joyful or rejoice in hope. And the hope that the hope is in God's in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God's character, in God's word, in eternal salvation, patient in afflictions, deliverance, trials, faithful in prayer. You know what? There's a book I want to give out. We've already taken too much time. I'm going to give it away next week. It talks a different book about spiritual warfare. We're going to give it away free in Jesus' name because there's so much power in prayer. But when we're going through trials, when we're going through these hard times, you know, there's basically a pattern I've known amongst Christians. And it kills them. And it keeps them as infants. And I don't want you to be infants all your life. And that doesn't have any regards to age. It has to do with spiritual maturity. So here's what it is, okay? Here's what it is. Turn off the light, Joe, just for a second. I just said turn on. Okay, when you're experiencing afflictions, when you're experiencing trials, and what could a trial be in your life? It could be a wide range. Somebody give me something. What could be a trial?
Getting out of the house.
What else?
Finances.
Yes, good. What else?
Illness.
Headaches. Migraines. What?
I said illness.
Addiction. What else?
Depression.
Depression. Yes. Anything you're struggling with. See, the enemy wants to hit an area that's sensitive to you. Unforgiveness, guilt, depression, time at work, failure. What is it that he's using on you to draw you away from him? God wants to teach you. I thought of another one this morning, but here's what it is. When you're experiencing afflictions, this is what folks do. They run, rebel, rejoice, and then it repeats. Because if you live this life any time, right, in those fires of affliction, this is what happens to you. Now, here's what people do. Whenever we go through these trials, and I've done it too, so I'm not like preaching like, oh, the pastor is so, I'm so righteous. Listen, this is what we do. But if you continue to do the same thing, expecting different results, you're going to go crazy. And that's what most people do. So next time you're in a trial, the first thing people do is want to run from them. Isn't it? We all do, and that's what I want. I don't like conflict. I don't like trials. I try to avoid them. However, some are meant to grow me. Some are meant to stretch me. Some are meant to mature me. Running from the situation and not allowing God to do his work in them. The person I think of is Jonah, right? You remember him in the Bible? God's like, here's what I want you to do. I'm giving you the commands. Go tell these people about me. And Jonah's like, wait, I don't even like these people. I don't even like them. They're not good people like me. Why should I go tell them? No way. And he runs, right? Now, we laugh at that because if you know the story of Jonah, he goes through hell, so to speak, and gets spit up back at the place where he's supposed to be anyway, even though he's running the opposite direction. So here, when you run from that trial, you're going to get that immediate relief. When Jonah got on that boat, he's like, I'm not going that direction, I'm going the opposite way. I'm so smart, I'm so wise, I don't need this pressure, I don't need this hassle, right? I don't need that job. I don't need this school. I don't need this church. I don't need that work. Who are they to tell me, pull the log out of your own eye? I'm out of here. Isn't that what we always do? We run. You will always be a spiritual bambino a thumb-sucking bambino, and I say that respectfully. Respectfully is someone can say your thumb-sucking bambino. If you run from your trials, what God is trying to do is to use these trials in your life to refine you, to stretch you, to mature you, to strengthen you, to grow you. And if you run from it, you will never, ever, ever grow. And God wants you to grow. He wants you to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's his heart for you. He loves you. He's not thinking, oh, Neely, I'm going to get you with another affliction. Ooh! Now, the enemy's probably thinking that way. But don't do it. That's your... Look, and it's natural, right? We all want to run. Don't do it. You can either run or you can rebel. Right? You rebel against God, his people, his word, and you move to the opposite direction. Right? I think of King Saul in the Bible, right? I mean, God gave the kingdom over to David, and David's like, you know, okay. King Saul's like, no, I'm not going to let it go. I don't need to listen to him. I don't need to listen to God's word. I don't need to listen to the prophets. I don't need to listen to anybody. And it cost him his life and the life of his children. See, all these consequences, they'll have an effect. They have an effect on you and on those around you. If you rebel, nobody needs to tell me what to do. Listen. There are times when, if a brother or sister really loves you, they're going to tell you something that you don't want to hear. Now, granted, there are a lot of people who are, you know, it's kind of like that same person who's always willing to tell you what you don't want to hear. You know what I'm saying? That one person's like, oh, I smell a little sin on you right there. Let me tell you about that and that one too. So I understand that that's going to happen. Let me tell you, if you're ever confronted, really take a look, examine. Don't rebel against it. If someone, especially, I'll be honest, you've got, some of the leaders here are the most non-confrontational people you can get. You know, I don't like confrontation. Josh doesn't like confrontation. Gary doesn't like confrontation. Carl, if we ever come to you about something that needs to change your life, it's taken a lot to get us there. Listen. Don't be like, oh, they're so judgy. You know? Listen to what's being said. Or if somebody comes to you in love, listen. If they're coming to you with a humble, loving heart, listen to what they're saying. Because your first reaction is, nobody needs to tell me. Don't rebel in the trials. So don't run from the trials. Don't rebel in the trials. Rejoice. Now, I'm not saying you should be going, oh, yes, I'm depressed again. You know? Oh, good, the enemy's slandering my name one more time. Cha-ching. I'm not saying you necessarily will have that hard attitude, right?
Praise the Lord.
But he does want us to have that persevering heart, that patient heart, knowing and trusting that as I go through this struggle and honor him, that he's going to use it for my growth or the growth of somebody else. Does that make sense, guys?
Yes.
Don't run, don't rebel, rejoice. Learn to trust God and his word, growing in faith and strength. And when I think about that, I think of the Apostle Paul. So anyway, that's one thing the Lord gave me yesterday morning, and I just wanted to share that. All right, so now, back in his word, verse 13, Romans chapter 12, says this. He says, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. You know that word share is so cool that I got circled there? That word share is the Greek word koinoneo, and it's where we get fellowship from. So God wants you to share of your gifts, share of your time, share of your finances. He wants you to share with God's people. He doesn't want you to be a rock, an island all to yourself. He wants you to be giving to one another, sharing with one another. We're not going to do it, but if we took hands, how many people in here have received financial help in some way? or meals in some way, or a gift of, or a night out, or something like that in some way, you'd see most of the hands going up in here. Because we're to share with one another, and not just from the church, one another. People are giving rides to people, and people are helping others all throughout the body. That's because the love of Christ is here. And the more we want to isolate ourselves, the more we don't want to share. But God wants us to share with God's people who are in need. Now, he wants us to share with everybody, right? But he wants us to share especially with God's people. Galatians 6:10 says this, because we're supposed to be a family. It might be a little dysfunctional family, but it's the best dysfunctional family going. It says this in Galatians 6:10, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So, God wants you to use those resources, use your gifts, use to help others, all others, but especially those who are believers in Jesus Christ. That's the heart that he wants us to have. Now, that next part where it says practice hospitality, when you see practice, what does that mean? Anybody do sports or did sports?
You do it over and over and over and over again.
You keep practicing.
That's right.
Perfect.
Over and over and over again.
Makes perfect.
He's got it right.
You get it right?
Practice
makes perfect. Yes.
Practice makes better.
Practice hospitality. Now, I want to tell you that... What does hospitality mean? Let me ask you a question. What does it mean?
Serving people.
Serving people. Okay, good.
Lovers of strangers.
Lovers of strangers? Well, you're pretty strange. I love you. Opening yourself to them? Good. In every way? Good. Anybody else? Hospitality?
Putting their needs before yours.
Putting their needs before yours? Yeah.
It's like a bed and breakfast.
Like a bed and breakfast?
Yeah.
Okay, this is like an Adam illustration. I'm ready.
Hospitality. So,
when you go into a bed and breakfast, they have So when you go into a bed and breakfast, they don't know who you are. They don't know anything that you've done. But they're so kind to you. They're like, hi, welcome. You know, here's your room. It's all nice and set up for you. If you have something to eat, you know, we have breakfast at 6 o'clock a.m., something like that. Yeah. They're just, they're open and they're kind and they're loving and they're willing to serve you, even though they know nothing about you.
Right. You know what? I think that's a good definition. You know, two things. You know, one of the families that comes to our school knows they can't understand how we do the tuition and what we're doing it for. How do we do it so low? She's like, I've done the math. You guys can't make it. I know, but we're making it. And he goes, and this Thursday night barbecue Bible study, you're just telling me you feed everybody who comes in the door? Yeah? For nothing? Yeah. We just welcome them. Oh, that's incredible. Do you know what? The head of CEF came last week and spoke Child Evangelism Fellowship for the region, and she came and she said two things off. One was a little slam. Didn't mean it that way, but one was really, I guess. Maybe it wasn't a slam. Take it back. Sorry, forgive me, Lord. I took it as a slam.
I never touched it.
Get up here and pay attention.
She said, you know what? Because I just love coming to your church. And now that's not about me. That's about you. And I said, why? She said, everybody there makes me feel so welcome. And I was like, that's really awesome. Now listen, now if you're sitting there going, nobody made me feel welcome. Well, then you know what you're supposed to do? Then you stop right now, and you're the person that's supposed to go out and make other people feel welcome. Does that make sense?
Yep.
The hospitality, almost like a hospital. You know what they do in a hospital? Hey, come on in. Let's see if we can help you, encourage you, do whatever we need to be done. Right? And that word practice, guys, listen to this. This is crazy. This word practice is translated 44 times in the Bible. Now, this is kind of crazy now, but most of the time, it actually means, in Greek, it means to run after hard. It's a word that it's a word that means dioko, and it means to pursue almost violently. It means to persecute. In fact, in Acts chapter 9, verse 4, like to run so hard after something that it's almost like persecution. You remember the story of Saul of Tarsus when he was persecuting all the Christians? Mm-hmm. He was going from town to town, throwing them in jail, like pursuing them everywhere, right? Grabbing them, bringing them in. And God stopped along the way and said to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Mm-hmm. Same word. That's how hospitable we're supposed to be. You're to reach out. Anybody who comes in here, let me tell you, I don't like if they get mud on the carpet, but that's not the main thing. I don't like if they take bagels before it's ready. That's nothing. We should be making them feel very welcome. When I say we, I don't mean me or the greeter. No. I mean you. I love it when I see you guys talking with each other. Don't always go in your cliques. Welcome the new folks. This is what I got. Hospitality. The friendly, welcoming, heart-centered reception and treatment of guests or strangers. Wouldn't you say that's pretty accurate? How about inviting somebody? I love when I hear folks are inviting somebody over for their home for dinner. Love that. Hey, I was talking to somebody on the phone last night. Oh, we had a game night over at our house. And we're just like, love that. How about you be the door opener? You know, and don't just think, well, okay, that's something that Tom does and Gloria does. That's something Rebecca does. No, that's something you need to do. Now, what's the difference between hospitality and entertainment? Listen, entertaining is centered more on you, where hospitality is centered more on somebody else. That's what God always wants you to be thinking of others, not of yourself. Entertaining is saying, hey, I'm going to throw this dinner party because I'm going to look good. Everything's got to be perfect. We got to vacuum the floors. Nothing can be out of place. You ever been like that?
Yeah.
We invited some elders over from a different church. And we just invited them over just to be friendly, not because they were elders. We said, hey, come on over. At the time, we had just got our first dog. This was a long time ago. And this big, goofy dog ate the back of the door. You know? I mean, literally. I mean, I ate it out. You know, it's just wood. And so we just... My wife's just so happy to have a dog. She's like, oh, it's okay. The dog can burnt down the kitchen. Oh, at least we have a dog. So I wrote back on the back of the door, at least we have a dog. You know, we had tiles. We were tiling our floor. Half of it was out. But we just invited them over, their family. Just welcome them. And afterwards, they're like, can I tell you something?
Do you need help?
That's a great deal. That would be really nice too. Yeah. But no, they didn't do that. They were like, you know what? We've been going to this church for a long time, and we've never even invited anybody over. You know? And I said, oh, they just live around the neighborhood, so it's not like different socioeconomic. We were just too afraid to, you know, because our house wasn't perfect. And so, but now that we come here, you guys are so welcoming and love. We're like, hey, let's start inviting people over. Isn't that cool? So entertaining says, I want to look good. Hospitality says, I want Jesus to look good. Entertaining says the emphasis is on the food and outer appearances. Hospitality is on the emphasis on the hearts of those who come into your home. Entertaining is preoccupied or apologetic about the messes. We do that sometimes. Hospitality is humbled by the mess and still can still serve. You're not so focused on it. Entertaining, the goal is to impress. Hospitality, the goal is to serve. Hebrews 13:2 says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some who have done this have entertained angels without even realizing it.
Yeah.
1 Peter 4:9 says, offer hospitality to one another. And this is the key. Oh, there's a couple of laughs in the audience. Without grumbling.
Yeah.
We'll invite them over, but oh, they're going to stay so long. Oh, they didn't clean up. Oh, they.
They never
do it without grumbling.
They just never let them back.
We'll work on that part a little bit. Matthew 25:35 said, for when I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. And if you're unsure about who to invite, if they're safe, we can talk to us again. All right. Hey, we're getting to that. The next verse says, guys, in verse 14, it says, bless those who persecute you. And that word bless, it's where we get our word eulogy from. And it means to do good to say, to praise. So he's saying, I want you to bless, to praise, do good to those who persecute you. What? And then he says, bless those who do not curse. Now, when we think bless and do not curse, I'm thinking, don't say you blanky blank blanker. But back in those days, it was even worse. They were thinking, I'm going to curse your family. Like, if you come from an Italian background like me, you know, or you get the evil eye, I don't want to do the little symbol, but I still remember, you get that, or, you know, Haitian background, they're putting a curse on you. Now, listen, God doesn't want us to do that. That's how the world operates. You hit me, I'm going to hit you harder. Right? God wants you to bless. Listen, if anybody leaves, for example, this church, and they're mad, those bother this, they're that. Hey, love them. This is what you're always going to hear me say. Love them, miss them, bless them. I do. That's how we're supposed to be. Bless and do not curse. Now listen, and I was thinking, back in those days, you know, they'd actually curse. I was thinking, well, that doesn't really apply today. And then I read this in the news. This is a true story now. Yes. This is in the New York Post. Now, if you notice the date, okay? This is only like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Witches around the world plot mass spell against Trump. Curses on Trump and those that support him. And I thought, holy schmoles, they actually have 10,000 witches, warlocks, and occultists who are praying against President Trump and his conservative views and all that support. Now listen, Trump is not the person, just so that everybody's like, well, you're no Trump fan. I like Ted Cruz and Fiona, I can't remember her name now. They were my first pick. Okay, but I'm thankful that he's picking conservative people, the vice president, morning and Christian. So here, we've got 10,000 people. This is headline news. This is the BBC World News. They're cast a mass spell. They got a video on it against Donald Trump. 10,500 people so far of those witches and warlocks and occultists that are doing that. Okay?
That shows how scared they are.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right,
that's right.
Isn't that crazy? Now, here's what I'm thinking. I don't even know if you like Trump or don't like Trump, but let me tell you, if you've got 10,000 witches, warlocks, occultists, satanic occultists praying against that person, or praying against, I'm going to get on that side. You know what I mean? If the witches are going this far praying against you, I'm going to stand with you. There's probably a pretty good chance you're okay. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Bless. But God wants us to bless and then not curse. Luke 6:27-28 says, Jesus said, I want you to love your enemies. I want you to do good to those who hate you. And I want you to bless those who curse you and pray for those who mistreat you. Now, can you do that unless you have the supernatural Holy Spirit of God living inside of you?
No.
Is that natural? Who does this? But Jesus says, if you're born again, you can do all things through him.
That's right. True.
Isn't that true?
Yes.
C.S. Lewis said this. He said, the Son of God became man to enable men to become sons of God. The same power that rose Christ from the dead lives in you. He wants you to do something that's so mind-blowing and so against the culture and so against the world that stands out to people. You can't do that without Jesus. Listen to this. He says this. He says, don't repay evil for evil and don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. 1 Peter 3:9. And listen to this. If anyone forces to, Jesus said, if forces to go with you 1 mile, then go with them two. Listen. Here's this. This is my new waker-upper. This is a replica of a Roman spear. And so what they would do, the Romans, they ruled by brutal force, right? People hated them, right? And they could kind of do whatever they wanted. When you were walking down the road, they had to carry all their armor and all this, so all this heavy weaponry, all they have to do is, maybe Josh is going for a meeting, a business meeting. I'm going to put this on my shoulder, and that means you have to carry all my stuff for a mile. Or maybe Linda, yes, I'm going to touch you with the spirit. Maybe Linda is carrying all these jugs of water all the way back for her. And he's going to touch you and just say, okay, you have to drop the water, all your stuff right there, and you have to carry my stuff for a mile in the desert hot sun. And Jesus says, if anyone forces you, that was the Roman law. Jesus, if anyone forces to go with you 1 mile, I want you to go with them too. What do you think that Roman soldier is going to say? Okay, your time is done. Come, stop what you're doing. Do it for me now. Okay, you walk with them a mile. Okay, you're free to go. I'll carry your stuff for another mile. What? Yeah, I just want to do it. I just want to do it in Jesus' name. See, that's not normal. Who does that? Nobody except for you, a born-again Christian. Does that make sense? Who in this world is going to show the light of Jesus Christ unless it's you?
Yes.
You either have that power or you do not. So we need to choose to love like Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And don't fall asleep because we're going to poke with the Spirit. He goes on to say this. He goes on to say, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be... Oh, I'm sorry. I missed a verse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. That's what he says first. Basically, 1 Corinthians 12:26-27 says, listen, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If someone's hurting in here, you need to come around that person if you know that that's going on and weep with them. And if somebody's doing good, like, oh, if you haven't been at work, hey, you're doing the same job they are, maybe working a little harder. Hey, and they come to you, hey, I just got a big promotion and a big raise. Great. So happy for you. No, you're not. But as a Christian, if something good is happening, if something good happens in your family, I'm so excited. I say praise the Lord. You know, we have to watch ourselves if that jealousy doesn't come in. Sherry also said this. She's like, oh, I love coming to your church. It's so welcoming. And she's like, boy, the teaching was so good. And I was like, oh, thank you. You know, and she's like, you want to hear the best part of the whole sermon? I said, absolutely. You know, and she's like, you want to hear the absolute, the most, it was so profound. I'm thinking, which one of those points? She's like, it was what your wife said. She shared when you were talking, and she said, I'm not afraid to let you struggle because this is a safe place to have you struggle. And this, and she went, and she repeated almost verbatim. I was like, oh, yeah. Yes. Good. Yeah, okay, right. Good. Praise the Lord that spoke.
Praise the Lord.
He says, then he goes on to say, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Listen, Philippians 2:2 says, make my joy complete, having the same love, being like-minded, being one in spirit, one in mind. That's how he wants us to be. That's Philippians 2:2. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I want you to live in harmony with one another. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. And then he goes on to say, he says, be willing to associate with people of low position. You know, Romans 12:3 says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. I know people who didn't go to my church because there's not enough rich people here. Because they want stockbroker insurance. They want to go to a church where there's a lot more rich people than we have.
They don't like our government.
Isn't that silly? What is your motivation there? Motivation is money, right? Material things. Listen, if you are very rich here, you are very welcome here. If you are very poor here, you are very welcome here. If you have pink hair or piercings or tattoos, you're welcome here. The main thing is your heart. Do you love the Lord? Do you love others? Do you want to obey His word? Do you want to seek Him? That's what's important. Man looks at the outside. God looks at the heart.
There.
Yeah.
You don't have to have money to be rich.
That's exactly right.
Amen to that.
Amen to that. You don't have to have money to be rich. We have treasures, the Bible says, in these vessels to show that the power that we have is God and nothing. That you're richer. If you have, if you're born again, you're richer than any person that lives on this planet will ever be. He goes on to say, oh, yeah, I forgot one quick thing. In James, it says, don't show favoritism. So if somebody comes in here with a big fancy car and big rings, and don't come up here and say, Joel, you're a missionary for 37 years, so I don't know if you're rich, so I'm going to ask you, Joel, to sit in the back. You can sit kind of like maybe at a, we'll get you a little metal stool, and I'm going to give them, oh, here's the rich guy. Let's bring him up here. They make rich people their deacons, and they're, that is so worldly thinking. Hello! We want people who love the Lord to be our leaders, right? Whether they have money or they don't have money. Right? What is going on with us these days? He goes on to say in verse 17, don't repay evil for evil, and be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everybody. Listen, don't repay evil for evil. Proverbs 20:22 says, don't say, I will get even for this wrong. Wait for the Lord to handle it. You can trust Him, guys. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Even Jesus, when He was being crucified, right? He could have called down heavenly angels. He could have done whatever He wanted. What did He say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Luke 23:34. It goes on to say, in these last few verses here, as we're closing out, it says, if it's possible, verse 18, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, can I tell you something? What I've learned as being a Christian for a long time? Sometimes it is not possible. Okay? Sometimes there are people, their words are smooth as butter, but they got war in their hearts. They're out to get you. God bless you. I'm just going to follow the Lord. You know, and it says, as far as it depends on you, there are some things that you can't compromise on. In 2 Chronicles, there was a story of a good king. And what he did was, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 32, he made an alliance with this evil king. The good king of Judah made an alliance with this evil king of Israel. And a prophet came in and said, hey, because you allied yourself with this group, hey, I'm just trying to create peace, right? We're all Judah, Israel, I'm trying to create peace. He's like, no, they're doing wicked stuff. I don't want you allied with them. And so he said, he rebuked him. He said, everything, what you've got going together, these ships you're making, I'm going to bring it all to ruin because you allied with wickedness. So there are some times where you're going to have to take a stand and say, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be allied with them. I don't wish harm to them, but I'm not going to stand with them. So, but as far as it is with you, be peaceable. Listen, maturity and wisdom in Christ. This is James 3, 17 and 18. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, and then is peace-loving. Man, if you're one of these guys, oh, this is like fire. Look, if you're mature in the Lord, the wisdom God gives you is peace-loving. I love peace. It's considerate. Are you considerate? Are you submissive?
Submissive? I don't submit to nobody.
Listen, you have to learn to submit to the Lord. Kids, you have to learn to submit to your parents. You have to submit to the authorities of government. Submit to the leadership. These things are normal things. You're going to submit all your life. We're going to be full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace, raise a harvest of righteousness. Hebrews 12:14 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone, and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will even see the Lord. And then these last verses here, don't take revenge, my friends.
and leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Proverbs 11:21. You don't have to worry about them getting theirs, guys. Proverbs 11:21 says this. Be sure of this. The wicked won't go unpunished. Do you know why you're trying to get revenge? Because you're thinking, no one's gonna, somebody has to give them their due. Aren't you?
Yeah.
Listen, here you have, so if that's you, think about this. God says, be sure of this. The wicked will not go unpunished. You don't have to worry about it. But those who are righteous will go free. Psalm 94:22-23 says, the Lord has become my fortress and my God, the rock in whom I take refuge. He will repay them for their sins and destroy them for their wickedness. The Lord our God will destroy them. That, you don't have to worry about any of that. It said, Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued to trust himself to him who judges justly. Listen, when Peter, when they came to get Jesus, Peter chopped off the ear of one of the servants, Malchus. Remember that? Oh yeah, they're going to take Jesus, false charges, lying, slandering. They're going to take him to be crucified. No way. What did Jesus do? He said, great job, Peter. And what did he say? Let's work out of this one. He said, he reached over and he healed Malchus's ear.
Yep.
He healed him. He said, oh, Peter, don't you know I can call down legions of angels right now and they'd all be gone? But I'm about my father's business. You can trust to the Lord. Trust him. He will take care of it. Now, not in your timetable. Not in the immediate, right? Like Laura was saying, we want it right now. I want them to get kicked in the butt right now. That's but God is saying, trust me. Trust me. Build faith. I will make it right. And then this last little bit, he says this, his last verse here. He says, on the contrary, and this is from Proverbs 25:21, but back in Romans here, it says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. And in doing this, you will heap burning coals upon your head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, the goal isn't, hey, that sounds good. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. I like that. I'll be good to him so we can burn him. That's not the right heart, right? You know what I'm saying? I'll kill him with kindness. No, what he's saying is there was an old custom, and I've heard lots of different illustrations, but I think the oldest is probably the best. There was a custom all the way back to Egypt where folks who have repented, if they knew they were wrong, they would have these coals, and they'd put them on their head, and they'd walk around with it to show that I'm so ashamed. It was just to show everybody publicly, I'm just so ashamed of what I've done. I'm burning with shame. And so the heart intent here is to do good to these people, to bring about, you know, just for the Lord's sake, and that he's going to bring about that shame. They'll be so ashamed. They'd, wow, you're doing this good thing to me? I don't understand it. And that guilt and that shame will bring them to repentance. And then he says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That word overcome there in that last verse is where we get our, it's in the chaos where we get our word Nike from. It means you have victory over to conquer. And what he's saying, I don't want you to have victory by doing evil things, by getting revenge. You know, your life verse should be shatter the teeth of the wicked, you know, eye for an eye. That's not your heart there. God's saying, I want you to be different. I want you to be victorious, to conquer, to Nike, by doing good. Psalm 23, listen, the world doesn't understand it. And most people are going to think you're a knucklehead. But God is saying, I want you to be different. I want you to be my daughter and follow me. And you know what? When you do that, you're going to find that goodness and mercy will follow you wherever you go, all the days of your life, and you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You will overcome the evil with good. That is what God wants from you. Yeah, I think I'll stop right there. Okay. Any comments before we pray and close? If so, want to hear it, and if not, I'm going to pray. Father, you know we can't do this. We can't live this way apart from you, Lord. It's impossible. So right now, we're asking in Jesus' name, you would fill us up with the Holy Ghost, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that you would help us to see things with spiritual eyes and not with worldly eyes, Lord. That you would give us the strength and the power to return evil, gossip, slander with good, Lord God. As far as it is with us, we would be peaceable with other people, Lord. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to be the kind of people that the world can look at and say, wow, that's a Christian. Not, that's a Christian. Lord, only you can do that. So we submit and surrender ourselves to you. We ask that you would have your way with us, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to trust you and your word in these things. And as we obey them, Lord, as we obey your word, and you would give us the strength, the power to shine, that the world can see you in and through us. I pray your blessing of protection on this congregation and strength and encouragement as they go forth in this week, Lord. I also pray for Nick and his mom, Lord, with stage 4 cancer, Lord, as they're going on that trip. I pray just for a blessing over them right now and that his mom will come to know the Lord. And so I just pray for salvation. Lord, we ask for that together. And again, we just pray blessings on our precious little baby today, Lord, that you would bless that life. We ask these things in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 God bless you guys.
Can you find this slide with the definition of hospitality?